Good morning. We are back with the second episode of Overheard at Kelly's. Evan, good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening, Ryan. I'm doing great. I pulled the ultimate Joker's trick this past week on the Clown of Crime himself. So you could say I could not be doing better.
I mean, that was a simply electric matchup that we'll get into in a few seconds, but we're super excited to have a legendary guest graced by his presence this evening, a man who is a new resident of the Pensacola/Destin, Florida area, Rutgers University's very own Brendan Smith. Brendan, welcome.
Thanks for having me on. You know, I'm excited. I don't think I've ever done a podcast, so actually, I think I subbed in once last year with Jack, but I'm happy to be on.
Awesome. Well, it's a pleasure, and if we could be so lucky, if you could just give us a quick update on your team so far, and then just life as a whole and how things are going down in Florida.
Life is going great. Got my number two choice assignment. It's my number one location, so can't really ask for much there or much more there. I love it down here. I love what I do. I'm excited to start going into the world and doing some cool shit. So all happy here. Can't really say the same about my fantasy team. It's an absolute shambles right now with Saquon going down, but I'm going to have to adapt and overcome. I've had obstacles every single year, and I've somehow pulled my way through, and I'm hopefully we'll be able to do that again this year.
Off the top of my head, Evan, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like B. Smith always fields a great team, and he's been one of the more consistent presences in the conglomerate. Your thoughts?
Yes. I mean, B. Smith actually holds a special place in my heart as the victim of my first championship.
I was your first.
Yeah, you always remember your first. And that was way back in 2015. And I think that set the tone for his career in the conglomerate. And I could just be making this up, but I feel like B. Smith has never had a super high pick, maybe other than that year.
No. This was the highest pick I've had. I've typically been in like the mid-range picks, so I was a little overwhelmed to get the second overall this year. Glad I made a good choice.
Yeah, at least you get to enjoy that for the season. It's always great to have a transcendent talent on your team. But yeah, because honestly, I felt that one probably just as much as you did.
Yeah,
a brutal turn of events.
I knew it was bad because the hit itself wasn't anything bad, but him like on the sideline in that much pain was not a good sign.
Yeah, anytime somebody grabs their knee like that right away. And you won this week anyway?
I did. I squeaked out a victory over Mike by no one else but my kicker.
Oh yeah, well that's
the irony.
Lutz. Well, for this week, we're going to switch things up. Instead of going through the week two matchups, I have a segment planned for Brendan Smith. We're going to put him on the hot seat. And everyone knows about the controversial power rankings that took place ahead of week one, Evan especially. But B. Smith, we're taking you to task, and you're going to provide us your power rankings of how things stand following the week two matchups. So if you can start with your 12th ranked team, last place, who do you think deserved that spot?
My 12th ranked team. Let me do some brief research here. I think there's definitely some teams. There's definitely a top tier teams, and then there's some lower tier teams. But for who's on the absolute bottom, it's kind of tough to say. You know, Mike has had a tough go at it these couple teams, or these last couple weeks. I've obviously had a rough go at it as well. But for my sake, I'm going to have to put Mike at the bottom as number 12, the last ranked team right now.
Yes, I think that's very fair.
I think it's fair. I was – if you had picked me, I would not have been offended, but I will take it.
I think I went through Joe Mixon last year, and having him on that offense is kind of brutal to watch at some time or at some points. Dak Prescott, obviously, elite quarterback. And Mark Andrews has his ups and downs, but you never really know with that Baltimore offense what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, I know it was.
But there's just not a whole lot of depth.
Yeah, it was a very hot topic of conversation in the first podcast. But I just still think, I don't know, did Mike get too cute taking Mark Andrews in the third round?
Yes and no.
Do you guys hear me? I just disconnected for probably 20 seconds.
I think I took Kittle in the third round.
Yeah, but there's definitely a big difference between Kittle and Mark Andrews. Although, in fairness to Mike, I'm looking at it, and he drafted him 36th overall. So he was, like, basically a fourth rounder. Yeah, now I can.
Can you guys hear me? I just disconnected for probably 30 to 35 seconds, so I don't know if it caught that last part on mic, but I might be wrong.
Last 30 seconds.
Whatever occurred in the last 35
seconds. Oh, yeah, specifically Mark Andrews. So did you hear when B. Smith ranked Mike last?
I did.
Okay, so just shortly to recap for the folks at home, Mike is in last place in the official live on-air power rankings brought to you by B. Smith. And we are going to – well, I'm on his team right now. I think I see some holes. The thing with Mike, too, is we know how much he loves to get his guys, and Austin Ekeler has always been one of his guys, like – huge Austin Ekeler guy. So for him to hit the eject button on him that early in the season, I thought was a little interesting.
What was that trade for? It was Ekeler for – I honestly don't even remember.
I sent him Cam Akers and A.J. Brown, and he sent me
I did see that.
Ekeler and CeeDee Lamb, who I just moved in the trade tonight. And
I've never been a fan of making trades prior to week three. Like, I was kind of talking to Ryan about offline. Like, you got to see your team develop a little bit, and it's really hard to find out what kind of player they're going to be prior to really week three, week four.
Yeah, and I mean, right now, he's easily lost that trade because it was for A.J. Brown, right, Ryan? And so that he hasn't even played yet. And I think I don't know what his injury is, but.
Correct.
Oh, so that's good. So just constant indecisive indecision.
I think he's week to week.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm also looking at Mike's team right now, too, and it seems like he has a decent amount of wide receivers. So I'm not sure what the – nobody really asked what his rationale was for that trade.
I think he was high on Cam Akers and was a big fan of A.J. Brown. At the time, A.J. was healthy, so that was obviously an unfortunate break. But
bad luck.
What made Mike high on Cam Akers, the 2.8 yards per rush in week one?
Well, he was getting so much hype in preseason. I think he was obviously a touted rookie coming in. Great career at Florida State, even though he didn't have any help around him. So he's been used to carrying the load. Kind of can do it all, catch the ball, run. But it just hasn't panned out yet, but it could be a late
bloomer. Like I said, it's so early situation. In the season. It's really hard to make those long-term predictions with – only very, very few weeks of evidence to back it up. You know, he got hurt like in the early second quarter or something this game. So like, or this week, I should say. So you never know. Things can happen.
Yeah. And Well, I was just going to say, like, moving forward, I mean, even though he's in last place in the rankings right
and
now,
also, I think,
the official rankings, you know, Mike's a grinder, so I'm sure his team, as it looks now, might be different in 2 to 3 weeks. So maybe just something to look forward to for fans of Make More.
Oh yeah, definitely. He's gonna have to have a prove people wrong attitude to get through the season here.
All right.
Number 11. I'm my own harshest critic. I'm gonna put myself at number 11.
Number 11, B. Smith. Who you got?
Saquon injury. I have a lot to overcome with that one.
Wow. That's a very honorable move.
I think I put up like 94 points or something week one, and then 104 this week, kind of off of a prayer. So yeah, I got some uphill climbing to do, and I think it was addressed in the first podcast of the year that I don't have a whole lot of depth on my roster, and I think that's coming to light early on.
Well, the Jonathan Taylor pick has proved to be a stroke of genius, so that's a definite bright spot. It's just a matter of who can really step up and be that RB2
in Saquon's absence. Taylor has.
Do you think you have that guy on your roster?
I mean, you never root for an injury, but Marlon Mack going down this early in the season, getting Jonathan Taylor in the game early has been a huge help. But other than that, yeah, I definitely have some running back issues. James White, I think, especially the way Cam Newton's going, could have some serious potential there. But obviously, Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins and who is it, Gus Edwards, like that's going to be a week-by-week hot hand kind of thing, and there's no assurances in playing those guys. Yeah, I have some serious running back issues. But, you know, Tyler Lockett has been pretty good. Godwin and Kittle being hurt doesn't really help me out, and I have no idea when. I'm more worried about Kittle than Godwin. Godwin just has a concussion, should be back next week, but Kittle went down with the knee injury, the bone bruise or something like that last year too, and he was out for a couple weeks. Yeah, I got some flex and running back issues for sure.
Now I will say this. With McCaffrey,
that's a great observation, Ryan.
There have been whispers that Curtis Samuel could be taking some carries out of the backfield as well. So that's something to follow as the situation develops. Maybe not a start immediately, but he could become an interesting kind of gadget guy.
It kind of paralleled the whole progress. Cordero Patterson thing with the Pats last year, 2 years ago.
Ty Montgomery, the same thing happened to him too.
Yes,
that is true.
Yes, exactly.
That is very true. Yeah, I'm not the biggest risk taker in fantasy football, and for the most part, that's paid out for me. But, yeah, I'm going to have to do some soul searching and take some risks this year, I'm thinking. Maybe pop off some trades. Who knows? Check your DMs.
Yeah, I mean, if, for you, B-Smith, at least, like, it can't get worse. Like, what is it, two of your three? Or is it three out of three of your first three picks now? What were your first three picks?
All three. Yeah. I went Saquon, Godwin, Kittle.
Yeah, so, I mean, it can't possibly get worse than that, can it? But
definitely not. It's just like, yeah, it's some of those positions, especially running back and tight end. It's so short. That list is so short. And thank God for who was it? Jordan Reed. I put in this week, had a hell of a ball game out there. But yeah, it's gonna be tough.
Okay, I guess we're on to number 10 now.
I believe we are. Number 10, I'm going to have to go with Morin.
Wow.
Yeah, I am not crazy about Morin's team. I think it's kind of a hot take, but I don't like – I love Tom Brady. I don't like him as a fantasy quarterback. Never really have. His running back core is pretty good. Edwards-Hilaire had a hell of a week one and was kind of shut down a little bit this week. I love Chris Carson, but I don't like that he hasn't had a rushing touchdown yet. I mean, I guess those will come, but I like his running back core. I just don't like Allen Robinson. I know you guys like him. I've never liked him. I don't think he has a flex option. I think Swift could come in and do some serious damage.
I'm with you, B-Smith.
Russell Gage has had some solid games. I don't think the Jacksonville running back is all he cracks up to be, even though he's had a couple pretty decent games. And Tyler Higbee is like one of those second-tier tight ends that I think is going to have an off-on season. Like, he's going to have those weeks like this week where he hangs 30, and then he's going to have a few weeks that hangs like 4 points. I think that's going to be a bit of a challenge for Morin. Is that a hot take?
I was gonna say no way is Morin number 10.
I think he brought some great points.
It's hard to argue with that.
I mean, throughout the roster.
And especially, I mean, he just made the trade for CeeDee Lamb, which is interesting because he basically has like no running backs now. And I'm never really a fan of three quarterbacks on one roster because I just don't really see like what the point is because you can only start one quarterback and they have next to nothing in trade value and at most, okay, like maybe one backup, but I feel like streaming quarterbacks isn't as bad as it seems. Like a sneaky or not even sneaky, just like an obvious thing is you could just always look at whatever bench or, waiver wire quarterbacks there are and just choose the one with the highest over. Cause like Vegas pretty much always knows. And then he's also got the backup tight end. So, I mean, that's three roster spots, taken up by kind of superfluous positions. I mean, the backup tight end, I understand. I don't really understand what the point of rostering three quarterbacks is. I'm sure Morin has an explanation. Maybe he'll defend himself, after hearing this, but,
oh, you know Morin is going to defend himself after hearing this. Number 100%. Nine, I'm going to go with you, sir.
All right.
Well, obviously he's not talking about me, right?
But I think there's an asterisk next to Ryan being number nine. Clearly have been making some moves in the trade department that I think have helped you out a lot. CeeDee Lamb is a steal. Right? Who'd you trade for? You trade for
I shipped him Antonio Gibson in return, who's the guy for the Washington football team currently.
We already hit on that trade a little bit earlier today. And that was prime time robbery. Ronald Jones. Are you worried about him?
I honestly am, and that's why I made the moves that I did today. So I think between Miles Gaskin and Antonio Gibson, I have the flexibility needed to accommodate Eckler. If I want to stream just two guys, or even if these guys both pan out and be hopefully who I'm expecting them to, I can run three and have a guy in my flex. But just given the way things are going this year with injuries, I think running back is the key situation. And I stupidly didn't draft that way. I went wide receiver heavy. So I really just try to do damage control with the trades the past couple weeks. And I definitely shook up my team a bit, but hopefully the integrity is the same overall.
I think you're going to have a lot easier of a time once MT comes back.
Yeah, that's the thing. I hope it's not too much. Trading CD was tough just given I'm not sure what MT's status is going to be for this upcoming weekend, but worst case, I can throw LaViska in there, and I think the way that they're using him down in Jacksonville, getting some carries in the backfield and some sweeps and everything else, I think he could put up.
Yeah, and he's playing Miami this week too, so
a decently high floor, yeah, probably start, I think eight that or would so be points. So I feel okay pretty about good. It.
Well, what must suck for you, Ryan, is since you're 0-2, you kind of need like your main guy, Michael Thomas, back like on the field. But then as a Saints fan, I feel like you would definitely rather him sit out, get healthy, than risk like re-aggravating it or like kind of being hobbled all season. So,
a 100%. And on the other side of that, just from a fantasy outlook, him rushing back could be bad in the long run as well. So I wouldn't, even if it's a, if you told me that he won't come back until week five or even week six,
you did that a few years ago, or was it last year or 2 years ago, where you were like 1-6 and you won out to make the playoffs?
Yeah, no, that was last year. I started off, 0-5, then went 1-6, and I scraped out like a 7-6 or something like that, made the playoffs.
Yeah, so it has been done. There is a precedent for it. I mean, this is the time of the year, and I'm sure everybody's familiar with this. It's just a little earlier this year than it has been in recent years, where Ryan just like fills up a machine gun of trades and just fires them at the league with no regard for who he hits. So it's always, it's like, he's like the reverse, like Easter Bunny or something, just like pelting people with eggs. So I look forward to it every year, and I'm glad we're seeing it in full flow. I think you're on course. I mean, you're on pace probably to break the trade record. Cause I'm sure Ryan, you'll admit you're not done making trades.
Well, I think the goal is to make as little as possible, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but I, apart from the blockbuster last year, I don't think I made too many trades.
I think the first year you traded like Allen Robinson for a kicker or something.
Well, now you do bring up a good point. Well, yes. Outside of last year, I am very trade happy. But I was just saying, I don't know. I can't recall how many I made last year specifically. But yes, I am very trade happy.
I respect that. I feel like a lot of people will take shots at Ryan for seemingly lopsided trades, but it's always a two-way street. Somebody has to accept it. So,
I mean, if two parties accept a trade from
there are no friends in this league.
They're winning the trade.
You're not doing.
You never accept a trade that you think you're losing, if that makes sense. So I never understand those criticisms, because
there's certain people in this league, and I won't name names. I never do.
Has the feeling that they are exclusively a better team. So
think trades are bad if they don't involve them. Like as soon as they see the notification, like that trade is trash. Like, and they don't even care. Like they don't even read the names. They just see it doesn't involve them. Like trash. Okay. And we all know who I'm talking about.
It's just you got to be suspicious of collusion. That's all.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be collusion.
Yeah. I guess.
Not to defend said person, but.
Yeah, that is a trigger. Yeah. That's a trigger word.
It's definitely a.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
It's a trigger. That's a trigger word.
Curse on the podcast.
Yeah, this is a safe space for collusion. yeah.
All right, shall we press?
Yeah, so we're at 8
now. We try and keep it G-rated. We're at 8. So to recap, we have Mike at 12,
so
B Smith at 11, Morin at 10,
you could
Ryan
probably
at 9,
interchange
and number 8
off of like honestly like schedules and you know bye weeks, all that kind of like random shit that happens. They're all pretty equal and not too crazy, but I'm going to have to go with Jack, JP, at 8. Russell Wilson, again, all-star fantasy quarterback.
Okay.
But I don't love his rushing core. I never was high on Kenyon Drake. I could not believe he was, like, running back, like, 7 or 8 or something like that in the ADP, maybe even higher. I don't think he's that good. He's never been that good, even when he was with the Dolphins. Todd Gurley, obviously, is kind of coming into, like, another year off of an injury. We saw how he was in Los Angeles, and the Falcons aren't exactly a rushing offense. With that being said, love his receiving core. Absolutely love it. Hopkins, Cooper, two legitimate wide receivers. And I think I was saying this earlier too. I was a little worried about Hopkins going into a new offense, but holy shit, has he proved us wrong.
Yeah, he was probably one of the steals of the draft if you think about what he could be and where he was drafted.
Nasty. Yep.
Yeah, for real. He's been an absolute machine. Kyler Murray and him have an instant connection, and I don't think that's slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I would say it's maybe a little tough on Jack putting him at 8th. But
I kind of agree, but like I said, like 8 all the way up through 4 are like, I really think there's like 3 top tier teams. There's like the 4 middle teams and then like the bottom tier teams that have some work to do.
Yeah. And I would say like, I like Jack starting his starting roster. I don't like Gurley at all. I found myself in the Atlanta Falcons Twitter realm recently, and they basically hate Todd Gurley. So, like, they say he looks, like, super slow. He's not going to get opportunities. He's basically, like, what he did this week is, like, his ceiling, which is not great to hear because I guess he also has, like, zero role as a receiver. But, I mean, as, like, your RB2, I think Gurley is okay. But I think Jack's bench, I'm not really sure what he's going for here.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about his bench either. I like Landry. I've always been high on Landry. I think he's one of those guys you can get in the 5th, 6th, 7th round of a draft and absolutely be a steal.
Yeah. And
I have no complaints about that, but the rest of his draft is I'm not super high on. Philip Lindsay, sure, but Melvin Gordon has definitely taken over that role, especially after this week.
Yeah, and also it seems like he got like a little insecure about the New York Jets comments and just went out of his way to just add anybody wearing green. So he's got Denzel Mims like on his roster, like Rashad
Perry. I don't even know who that is, to tell you the truth.
Like Frank Gore was probably a decent pickup because like if you need between 7 or 10 points like from a running back position, like you just plug Frank Gore and he's probably going to get you that. But otherwise, I wouldn't be too enthusiastic looking at this bench and thinking like, yeah, if I have a few injuries, this could carry me. But
yeah, he kind of got into like the tight end hole too. Like, I don't think Austin Hooper is the guy. I think he was good on Atlanta because it was Atlanta.
I think he's good. I mean, he was really, really good last year before he got hurt. Like he was right up there, I think, with Kelsey, like ranking wise in terms of tight ends. But I mean, I would say I could see why you would have Jack at 8th. I would maybe have him like a little bit higher, but I definitely see some long term concerns with his team. God forbid he has an injury or two.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Now, pushing over to the other side of this week's scoreboard, I got her up at 7.
Hmm.
Is that a hot take as well?
Hmm. That feels surprising to me just hearing that name because my perception of Chris's roster is very strong, but it might just be on a
isn't he like 3
on a points level, but
interesting.
He was ranked quite high. I think looking at his roster,
Yeah, I would say 7 for him is tough.
I do like it a lot.
I don't really hate. I have a few players on his bench that I really like. I think Robbie Anderson is finally kind of coming to life here in Carolina and showing the world the threat that he is. But I think Gronk is an absolute dud. I love him to death. He should have hung up the cleats and kept him there.
Well, the problem with Gronk now is he's still like a very, very good blocking tight end, but he's just probably not going to have any value in fantasy because you don't get points for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's the fantasy football tight end that he should be. Jordan Howard, I think I was never really high on Miami running backs. I think – who is it? Gaskin, right? I think Gaskin has kind of edged him out a little bit. So I don't think his bench is all that it could be. But, I mean, his starting roster, he is like onesie twosies everywhere that are great. You know, Deshaun Watson, I think, is going to have a challenging year, but he's still Deshaun Watson, and he's, you know, guaranteed 15, 20 points a year – or a week, I should say. Dalvin Cook. Tyreek Hill's Tyreek Hill. But, you know, I'm not crazy about Singletary. Juju is one of those guys who, you know, go off, you know, every other week, 2 out of 3 weeks, something like that, and then have, you know, a 5 or 6 point game. I don't like AJ Green as much as others do this year. But that's just me. That's just me. I mean, obviously, I'm the 11th. I am the 11th place team and have barely hung up 200 points this year. So I could have some bad judgment. I don't know.
I would say, I'd say a lot of it depends. Like if Deshaun Watson and Dalvin Cook can, and Hill, like those three are pretty high powered players, Tyreek Hill. So I think those three as a core, and then complementary pieces like Juju and Devin Singletary, I think it's got like the makings of a good team. I could easily see him in the playoffs. And I mean, 7th isn't bad. It's only week
7th 2. Isn't bad at all.
So like he's right on the cusp of a playoff position. So I would say, yeah. I mean, it is very, very tough to differentiate the middle teams. So somebody's got to be 7th.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like I said, like all these middle teams, you can have, you know, a week where the 7th guy, like Goddard, puts up the most points in the league. Like he's more than capable. It's just, it's hard to differentiate those teams.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool.
Okay, so now we're in the top half of the official power rankings.
Now we're in the top half. I'm going to have Walsh as number 6. Same reason, middle tier team. But Carson Wentz hasn't really been the same guy. I think Josh Jacobs is going to be stellar this year. Especially last night, Las Vegas surprised the shit out of me. Their offense actually looked good. Nick Chubb is super dependable. I think Cooper Kupp isn't going to have the year he had last year, but he's going to be a great guy. Waller obviously is Las Vegas's offense receiving core. We'll see what happens with Tyler Boyd when AJ Green comes back. And I have a love in my heart for DJ Chark from last year. So I think it's his team's there. I think he has a making for a playoff run for sure. I just don't think he's in that top tier team just yet.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think the Chubb Hunt split is a little concerning, considering where Chubb was drafted, like very highly, and Kareem Hunt kind of looks like he's taken a lot of a much bigger role in that offense. But I mean, that's still Josh Jacobs is his main running back. So Chubb as his other guy is way better than what most of the week has. I think his wide receivers are a little concerning. Although I do think Boyd is kind of being underrated. Like, he's still pretty good, and he was drafted.
No, he is a solid wide receiver. Joe Burrow has kind of established himself a little bit earlier than I thought. I don't know. I just have bad feelings about Bengals offenses. I don't like them.
Yeah, and I would also say that Walsh's bench is usually like super sketchy. Like, I think he's been known to have like multiple quarterbacks, even not when he misses rounds of a draft and gets auto drafted. So I'd say this is probably one of the best benches I've seen Walsh have in terms of composition. And then I think his starting lineup is pretty decent, but six is probably fair.
Yeah, I like Walsh's team. If he wants to trade his team for mine, let me know. Hit me up on the private line.
Sorry, guys. I just had an emergency All thing right. come up for work, so I'm just Shall, replying to a couple emails. But I'll jump back in as soon
yeah,
as I'm done.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Number five, I have you.
That's a joke. Keith Smith, on what grounds?
I really hope you thought about this very difficultly. I did.
Okay, is it my second highest points for? Is that what makes you think you put wait, oh my god. I'm sorry, B-Smith, just give me your reasons.
My reasoning is I'm not high on TJ Hockenson, not high on Odell. And I think Corey Davis is an off and on receiver. I don't like Le'Veon Bell. Other than that, I like the team. Kyler Murray is it. He's the guy this year.
I mean, this is what I'll say. Like, Le'Veon Bell wasn't even on my starting lineup, and I scored almost 170 points. Like, Corey Davis isn't even in my starting lineup this week. I mean, I could kind of see it because, like, I would say there's still some question marks. I mean, maybe my initial reaction was an overreaction. But I think fifth is pretty unfair considering what I've done this year so far. I mean, it's only 2 weeks in, of course. But if we're going off of power rankings, you have to look at what's on the what's been done and what's moving ahead. But I mean,
I guess
fifth isn't bad.
If I was going for power rankings 2 weeks in, I suppose I could just go down the points for column.
Yes, yeah, and you're right. It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be that. So
I'm
just
trying to put like a little more thinking into it and into the long term thing. And frankly, I think there are four other people who have better long term teams.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm very interested to hear who they are, even though there's only four people left, so I know who they are. And I'm not going to make this all about me and defend every single one of my players. They know how much they mean to me. So I think fifth, going from 11th to fifth is a good jump anyway. And I guess I'm just going to have to keep proving myself like I've done and like I've been doing this league for 5 years and 2 championships. But what do I know?
Hey, it's all about proving people wrong. There's a lot of fantasy football left to be played, and you know, you got to take control of your destiny. So, pressing on, I got, and I think this is partly why you were a little upset. And this was one of my more surprising rankings when I was thinking about it as we were talking here. I have EY at 4.
That's bold considering he didn't even break 80 points this week.
I know. I agree. But I like his team. Drew Brees, enough said. Derrick Henry and David Johnson. Derrick Henry is kind of isn't as much of the Tennessee offense as he used to be under Mariota, but, you know, he's rushing for 84 yards this week, and, you know, he's going to punch in a few touchdowns, and I think he's a solid running back. David Johnson, I think, is going to have a bigger part of the Houston offense, more like week one than week two. But I like his top two receivers, Davante Adams. He's going to be an absolute beast. He got hurt in the second quarter. So 6 points isn't a fair reflection, but at the other end, neither is 41, cause that's insane. But he's going to put up 20 points when he's healthy every single week. And Terry McLaurin, I think, is in his sophomore year, is going to establish himself as a serious wide receiver threat under Washington. Kind of the questions that came in on his and why he's not a little higher is I don't like Jimmy Graham as a tight end. He has a big tight end hole that he's got to fill. But on the flex, he has a whole bunch of options, which I love, which is why I had him so high. You know, Will Fuller is that guy who will have weeks like this week and have, you know, drop an egg, and then he'll have weeks like last year where he goes for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. But for more consistency, you can throw in the James Conners and Montgomerys, who will give you a lot more options and depth in that roster. So I like his team a lot. I like his depth a lot. And Darius Slayton is another guy who, especially if Sterling Shepard sees him extended time out, could have a serious role in this roster.
Yeah, I mean, I could see why EY's depth is attractive. I think he's got a number of players that he could like fit into his flex, but it's like, I don't know, like, do you think if we're doing power rankings and you're also looking ahead, like, Will Fuller's not going to stay healthy the whole year. Like, James Conner's not going to stay healthy the whole year. Like, they might, but like, history tells us they're probably not.
That's true.
And then I think like, loving David Johnson, like, love is a very strong word, considering, like,
that is fair. Yeah. Like, I like David Johnson a lot.
Like, that offensive line, like, absolutely sucks. And, like, running backs kind of rely on their offensive line. And especially where you have a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, who a lot of times, like, a quarterback might dump off the ball to the running back. Like, he's going to just run it himself. So, David Johnson is going to get, like, 6 receptions a game like he used to with the Cardinals. So, I mean, I would say my initial reaction was, how is EY number 4 in your rankings? But, like, I can see, like, your arguments make sense. But I would say, I would say 4. I guess 4 is okay. I mean, he had a really bad week this week, like, really bad. And I don't think he had that great of a week last week either. But
last week I think he hung like 20 points.
No, I just meant like EY's team in general.
Oh, EY in general?
Oh no, he must have no, he scored 130 week one, so that's a pretty good week. So EY at 4, okay. That's fine.
Let me see.
If these were the who cares the most power rankings, EY would be number 1.
EY would 100% be number 1. I'm loving his energy this year. Absolutely loving it. Now we're going into the top 3. And I think this is where feelings are really going to start to get hurt. And I do have the other Rose brother at number 3.
That makes me feel way better about you putting me at number 5. Because I feel like Billy's team is, like, easily the best.
I like Billy's team a lot. But I have my number 1 for a reason. And this was before he even kind of jumped me with the power rankings on the spot. my number one... I was thinking about before, like, holy shit, this is a good team. But talking about Billy here, and I lost my spot. So Lamar Jackson, enough said. I think he's freaking loaded, absolutely loaded. You know, solid running back core. Mostert, however you pronounce his last name, going down hurts a little bit, and he's gonna have to fill that hole. But I mean, so many people went down this week. It's kind of hard to say. But I like Robert Woods. I love DK. And his bench is solid too. I love Noah Fant. I thought later last year he started to kind of show his role in the offense. I think Drew Locke went down or something like that. So we'll have to see what happens with their backup in there. But Noah Fant's great. N'Keal Harry is going to be a big role in Cam Newton's offense, and then the man himself. I think Cam Newton on the bench is, you know, we were talking earlier about quarterbacks holding no trade value, but I think Cam Newton might be one of the exceptions there.
Yeah,
Cam Newton will have some trade value.
I completely agree with that. Because I think, like, now Billy's in, like, his offense is, or his starting lineup is already so good. But then, like, he's probably in one of those rare positions, you're right, where he'd be able to trade Cam Newton for somebody of actual value. But
the way Lamar Jackson runs and plays, do you think he'd be
– I mean, yeah, if it comes down to that, I would say – stash
Cam on his bench.
You have to – unless he simply gets an offer that he can't – consider value at that point. I mean – I also, I guess stashing a player is different. Like, I don't really like I don't really like having, like making long-term moves based on a fear of injury. Cause like anybody can get injured at any point. So it's not like even the most non-injury prone guys, but I would say like, if you're considering keeping a solid backup just in case, then yeah, I agree. But I don't know, is Lamar Jackson, is he one of those guys that, like, never really takes a hit, or does he actually take hits?
He takes a good amount of hits.
I haven't watched too many full Ravens games, you know, but the sidelines, I think he does. He takes his fair share of licks.
But if he's in the middle of the field, I don't remember many times seeing him slide. At all. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good point, stashing the quarterback, but either way, he has some serious chips on his bench, and knowing the Rose brothers, they're not afraid to trade, and I think that could seriously make his roster lethal.
Does Billy have the same trading? I mean, I know Billy's opinions on trades, but I can't really remember too many trades that Billy's been a part of. Yeah, but even then, I feel like I don't really remember too many.
Billy hates trades.
I don't really remember too many trades that Billy's been a part of.
And I don't think he's shy on making them.
I don't know. I think it's – like when I was looking at his team today, like before the podcast, I still thought he probably had the best team, like probably the best chance at winning. Because Kelsey hasn't even like Kelsey's huge to have, and he hasn't really been. I'm 17 points and 24 points is pretty good, so never mind. But I feel like that point of differentiation, like in the middle of the season when like half the tight ends are hurt and like he's getting 20 points a week from Kelsey, is going to be like really tough to beat, because then you like your team needs to basically blow up to compensate for that. Cause that's the problem that I had last year, was I had no tight end. I was getting like 2 points a week. So I needed like the rest of my team to make up that difference, and it just wasn't happening. But I think Billy's team, I mean, third is a good spot. I think it's kind of unfair that he would drop down the power rankings when he's leading the league in points four and he doesn't really have any injuries and he's 2-0. Because he was number one or two in the original.
I think Jake was definitely one, and Billy was maybe two or three, something like that.
Yeah, so I think that's a little that's a little tough that he would drop in the rankings after basically, you know, performing up to those expectations. But three is good. And I would say, well, I guess so we'll go to number two, and I think we all know who it's going to be.
Again, you might be a little surprised, but I guess I'll talk about both teams individually, but together. I have Jake at number two.
Yeah, that's who I thought it was going to be. And I already know the reason why you love Lou's team so much.
I mean, not much to say about Jake's team. He absolutely disemboweled us in the draft. McCaffrey going down for a couple weeks is going to hurt. He's going to have to fill that hole, but there are so many people trying to fill running back holes right now. And, you know, he's just kind of got to join the herd.
Well, I feel like this is where, like, I honestly, like, have to disagree. Like, Jake's only other running back on his roster is Chris Thompson. Like, he has to, like, plummet. Like, his number one overall pick just is out for, like, 6 weeks. Like, there's no way he can still be number two.
Now, is this
I think he could.
I'll never make a trade with Jake.
Trolls.
Jake could offer me
trades.
Kareem Hunt for my kicker, and I would send him back to Joker Emoji.
I think it's a fair question.
He has zero goodwill in trading. So I hope he works the waiver wire because I'm not trading with him.
Yeah.
I think within the world of Kelly's, obviously it's different than reality, but it's fair to say that he's burned some bridges between
organizations in terms of potential I'm just saying
agreements and trades that can be made. So
on a
storyline
personal and professional level, I just won't even consider it.
It's funny that you mentioned that because one of the points I was going to make on why I have Jake's team where it is because I think he has a pretty solid bench.
I think he's got a lot of wide receivers, but he's only got one running back and a backup.
The point I was going to make is I think Hayden Hurst and Cook are two. Those are in a tight end scarce league. Those are two tight ends that are better than probably three or four tight ends in the starting rosters of other people. Is that a hot take?
I mean, Jared Cook was very lucky to even have 9 points last week. He just caught a touchdown. It's not like he's known for catching a ton of touchdowns, is he? I had him last year, and he stunk. And he's like 40 years old.
He's a off and on kind of guy. He'll have weeks like this where it'll be two receptions for 13 yards, and then he'll have a couple that are like six for 90 and a touchdown.
Yeah, I feel like he has like three good weeks a year, and then those like vault him up the tight end rankings. So then, like when you're drafting, you're like, "Oh wow, he was the tight end 11 last year." Like this is, but then you look at it and it's like you never started him when he went off, and you always started him when he had 2 points. So it's like he's basically just the worst person, like that worst type of player to have in fantasy. I mean, I still think Jake's team is good, and if he does see it within himself to send out trade offers to people other than me, then he has a lot of wide receiver depth that he could turn into running backs. Is he going to do that? I don't know. Like, if he does, then yeah, I could see him justifying that number two ranking because when McCaffrey comes back, then McCaffrey and Hunt is very good running back wise, and then the rest of his team is also good. So I think, yeah, if it's up to him. The ball is in Jake's court. If he wants to wheel and deal, then I think he could see himself deep in the playoffs. But otherwise, like this is exactly what we were talking about in the first podcast, where for both of you actually, you have picks that are so high that you don't draft again for 20 picks, 22, 23 picks, that the level of talent that you're drafting after that initial one is so so different that when they go down, it's tough to just plug somebody else in and expect your team to operate the same way.
Yeah, it's the curse of the high draft picks for sure. But the Joker has the cards. All the cards are in his hands. Whatever he decides to do with them, I think it could work out for him in the end. But it all depends on the Joker. But carrying on to Lou's team over here, freaking solid. Just across the board. Even having Jerick McKinnon stashed on the bench since the draft is going to turn out pretty well for the next few weeks, I think. Leonard Fournette, too, as I was saying earlier, is going to overcome Ronald Jones in this Buccaneers offense, too. And then the rest of his roster is absolutely loaded. So I think Lou is going to be the team to beat, which is why he has the number one in the power rankings.
I mean, my thought, and separate from Lou's roster and just a great move by him 100%. In drafting, but 100%. Is it fair to say that Calvin Ridley has overtaken Julio as the guy down there? I mean, just if that proves to be true, then Lou's set up for such success.
It's so much.
I mean, it's really not surprising to see his team Ridley's put up the points better than that they
Julio.
Are.
It's just Julio's taking their number one corner, and Calvin Ridley's going to be better than the number two corner 95% of the time.
Yeah, he's probably the best number two on his team, wide receiver in the NFL, I would say.
Yeah, and Matt Ryan is, you know, he knows that.
I think that's very fair.
Calvin Ridley's way all season long.
And also something underrated is that Julio is like such a team player that he's not going to be a diva and complain about targets. So he'll just let Calvin Ridley like do his thing and like beef up his stats and just take the double coverage or take the top cornerback and not complain, which can sometimes like derail good situations like that. Yeah, I think Lou's team at number one is fair. I felt like you were going to like that Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones duo. And I think Miles Sanders kind of allayed any fears that might have been going on about him going into the season injured and being a first-round pick. So I think Lou's team is good, and I'm happy to see Lou starting to come into his own in the league. Because I think he finished last year, or second to last. I'm not positive. So a great start to his sophomore season. And I love his bench, too.
Galladay is going to come back, and he's going to be the guy over there, too.
Yeah, I think Wu has just such a well-rounded bench, like going – like basically abusing that extra bench slot and going just one backup tight end and then just wide receiver and running backs, because you know a few of those guys are going to hit and become valuable. And I like Jerick McKinnon a lot in that offense. Like, he's going to be streaky, just because you never really know who Kyle Shanahan is going to scheme for. But I think he'll be good more weeks than he's not. So I think that's a fair number one.
I think McKinnon went down with an ACL injury last year, right? In
back-to-back years, preseason. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he had that one really great year with
the Vikings. I think he was on my team that year, and I absolutely loved him.
Yeah, because he took over after Dalvin Cook tore his ACL his rookie year, and then he played really well, then got the big contract with San Francisco, and then tore his ACL in training camp, and then had another knee injury. I think maybe another torn ACL last year. So this has been – they've like kept him the whole time, so they obviously see something in him. I'm sure he had to take like a pay cut or something, but still.
Yeah, he's one of those super talented – running backs that have gotten lost in the running back renaissance of the last few years. I think he's gonna show how good he is over the next week or two while Mostert's out. So
yeah, so I think those were good power rankings, especially being put on the spot, asked to do it live. So I think that was very well done.
No, B. Smith, that was very impressive. I think the insights you came with, it's clear your commitment to the league and how much invested you are. So,
hey man, I've been
impressive, as Evan said, to be placed in the hot seat and put on that kind of performance. So, will be interesting to hear.
Something to keep my mind busy and, you know, scouring through fantasy football and having thoughts on how screwed I am next week and how much I would love to be on the owners of some of these other teams makes things a lot easier.
Wow. A humble king. We are not worthy. Well, B. Smith, great talking with you, and thank you so much for joining. We wish you great success in the remainder of the season.
Specifically, I thought this Evan was a great first words? Guest for the podcast. Asked to do a lot with not much notice, and he stepped up to the plate, which is very fitting for a member of our armed forces, and we're lucky to have B. Smith in the league and as a friend.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. Truly a pleasure hopping on the phone, getting to chat with you guys for an hour. Not often that we get to do that. So thank you for letting me come on and share my thoughts on fantasy football. And hopefully I'll be able to get up to Hoboken and have a couple drinks with you guys soon.